is Jim DeBacchus on the left.
Greg Hughes on the right.
And I'm Natalie Gochner in the Political Center, and this is Both Sides of the Aisle.
Today, the LDS Church and the gays.
Super Bowl predictions, but first, this news.
Natalie Gochner, and this is Both Sides of the Aisle. I have a lot of energy today, and I'm so glad to be joined by my host, Greg Hughes, Speaker of the Utah House.
Good morning, Natalie.
And Senator Jim DeBacchus.
Good morning, Natalie.
So we got the right and left and the center represented, and we get to talk today about the Super Bowl. I don't know what the political connection is, but it's Super Bowl week, and, you know, what do you guys have picks for me?
Do I ever. Let me tell you, I have never put on my body any NFL apparel other than the Pittsburgh Steelers until I bought myself a t-shirt of Richard Sherman from the Seattle Seahawks. I love that guy. Anyway, I love
Richard Sherman guy.
I love Seattle.
You'll be
Seahawks.
Rooting for the Seahawks.
Seahawks all the way.
Jim, you're a Massachusetts guy, so I can kind of feel this.
I grew up with loving the Patriots and adoring the Red Sox and not doing anything, but frankly, I'm going to root for the Seahawks. This Belichick, I don't like cheaters.
Yeah,
and like him standing up saying the other day, you know what? I'm not talking about this anymore. It's over. I just think there's a certain arrogance, and go Seahawks.
Nice.
Oh, what am I going to say? I mean, Greg will kill me here because I want to talk about soccer, you know, not football.
Please.
I mean, I like the MLS.
Oh.
I mean, most people are going to be watching the game Sunday for the ads. Greg,
No, that's true. The ads are a big part of it, but. No, but it isn't. You know, those ads aren't about soccer, Natalie.
I understand.
This is football. This is land of the free, home of the brave.
I will be rooting for the Patriots. My daughter lives in, you know, Medford. Medford, Jim, is that how you say
yeah,
it?
Exactly.
Massachusetts right now. Her husband's a graduate student at Tufts University, so I'll be rooting for the Patriots and Mr. Belichick.
Belichick. Well, you know.
So other local happenings. We have Sundance in town, and there is a kind of football connection because of this movie In Football We Trust. I guess, Jim, you saw that show.
You know, Sundance gives Utah the chance to be cool.
It's really cool.
Always Colorado or California or Las Vegas. Sundance, yeah, I'm from Utah. You know, there is that whole element. And the films, I've given up going to all the parties this year and I'm just going to films. I just can't believe how amazing it is to just sit in that theater, and I need to give up this job because there's too many other things.
You know, it doesn't surprise me. All the liberals in Hollywood, you would be the one. I'm not on one single list. I don't get to go to any of these parties. You get to go to the mall because
it's Hollywood.
Cut from the same cloth.
Yeah,
they're all just radical liberals in Park City with
I went to an event.
Jim.
You could learn so much, Hughes. We need to get you on the list.
I went to an event Monday night. I guess centrists get invited.
Yeah, there you
because,
go.
Because, you know,
okay.
I'm at an event Monday night.
But they're slumming it with you. They're just like, okay, we'll
put up
her
with Natalie.
We'll let the moderates
You know,
come.
The event that I was at was not a movie. It was what they call an event. One of the first things they're doing at Sundance. But it was Billy Redford, so Robert Redford's wife, is an artist. And she had done some beautiful artwork on silk draperies, and then they combined it with live music and dance. I don't know how you describe this thing, but and it was wonderful. But I got to tell
really?
You, Jane Fonda was in the audience.
Bill
How's
Gates.
She doing?
How's she doing nowadays?
Bill Gates was in the audience. Well, listen, I was on the back row, but I sat. I'm a native Salt Laker, and I'm going, this is my hometown.
That is true. Was she doing aerobics back there at all? Anything like that going
She
on?
Wasn't.
No.
Another kind of local touch here, Mitt Romney. So he's given speeches this week, and I don't know if you guys have been following it, but there's a different narrative coming out of this guy. Got to get the word narrative in the show again.
That's right.
He's talking about the middle class, Jim. He's talking about his time doing volunteer work as a pastor serving the poor and needy.
I never heard of a pastor
I know,
in the Mormon
I know.
Church. What
and,
is this pastor? And, is it something
and
I don't
that,
know about?
I said that knowing what I'm saying, but I'm seeing a guy who is courting the middle class, trying to shed his image of being out of touch, and As a moderate, I'm really liking what I'm hearing from this guy. I wish it would have happened 4 years ago.
I'll tell you, I heard some great analysis about whether Romney, if he were to run, what would be different. And there was the challenge that he would have to stare at what didn't work in that last race. And one of the things that worked against him is he's a man of humility. There is so much about him that the public never had a chance to learn. And it is these acts of service. It is the way that he has given of himself and his family and of their resources to help people. And I think that narrative, and also talking about the middle class and his touch, he has a touch that I don't think
there's a broader appeal people
ever understood 3 years ago.
Let me just tell a quick Mitt Romney story, because he's not my favorite guy, frankly.
I'm so surprised.
It was the Olympics.
My shocked face.
It was the Olympics, and I was a volunteer, and whenever that was, when we were all children. Mitt Romney had this gargantuan house up in Deer Valley, and he invited all the volunteers to go up. So there was a gazillion people up there, and I noticed twice during the night a bustling head of the Olympic Committee go over, hug his wife, ask her if she was okay, and then walk away. And when I walked into that thing, it was a warm moment, completely unscripted. And I noticed, I doubt anybody else did. When I walked in, I was less known then than I am now. I mean, there wasn't a soul who would have known me. He said, blah, blah, blah. I said, my name is Jim DeBacchus, and blah, 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 blah. An hour and a half later, I was leaving. Across the room, his eyes locked with mine, and he said, thanks for coming, Jim. I mean, that guy ought to be president just for that.
You've heard it here first.
That was the absolute only reason he ought to be president.
Jim Backus is on the Romney train, ready to elect this man.
So just a few more minutes in this first segment. In the second segment, we're going to talk about the LDS Church speaking out this week on religious liberties and non-discrimination. But real quickly, Mayor Becker, new poll comes out, shows that he has a 73% approval rating and that 72% of city residents believe the city's on the right track. Those are super strong numbers for a guy looking for a third term.
So Hughes better not run.
Salt Lake City, yeah. I'll tell you that Ralph, in his time as a legislator and minority leader here in the House, is an incredibly hard worker. He works very, very hard. He was in a crowded...
He has respect up here on Capitol Hill?
He does, very much so. And I think that what you saw in a race, his initial race was very crowded, and it was a who's who of people that were running for mayor. He won a race that people didn't think he had as strong of a chance. He won that race, and I don't think he's looked back since. But there are some challengers out there. There is a lot of discussion going on. And I think if there was any criticism of Salt Lake City, it is that while Mayor Becker might generally be receiving high approval ratings, if you get a little deeper, some people are frustrated by his absence, the kind of national roles that Ralph has taken on and his absence from the city. And then, when you look at some of the issues going on departmentally or some of the decisions within Salt Lake City, some wish that there might be some stronger leadership from the top. So I've heard those things,
Jim,
but Ralph's
he
a hard
just
worker.
Holds a grudge because there's too much biking
too many
going
bikes.
On in the city.
Exactly. Bike lanes. You just nailed me. It's true. The bikes.
We didn't say where we are, Natalie, and you probably should say, because I'm sitting here and Greg is blah, blah, and as usual, and I looked over at his cuffs.
He wears cufflinks. Greg,
no,
Greg Hughes
well, yeah,
cufflinks.
That's weird, but it says... I think he got the shirt at DI because the initials say LB.
Yes.
So there's some guy named LB who...
I can't wait to hear the story, Greg.
Well, it's their initials. There was actually a story done in the Trib. They outed me about what LB stands for. I won't say. This is family radio, right? So I can't give the
I read it in the Trib. It was a great story.
But I do have
he's
LB.
Just giving you a green light here.
Yeah, I'm actually not going to tell you. I'm just going to leave it. You can go read it in the Trib. It was in the Sunday edition.
It
go
was
read
a
it there.
Great story in the
Thank
Trib,
you.
By
Thank
the way.
You.
I mean, I thought I kind of knew you, but there was a lot of cool stuff in there.
Thanks. Yeah, well, and the speaker's office
piece.
Is now adorned in boxing attire.
Exactly, and a Ronald Reagan picture.
We're in the speaker. Did you know that? I got us in the speaker's office. I don't think the speaker knows.
Very cool. You're listening to Both Sides of the Aisle. I'm Natalie Gochner. I'm in the Political Center. I'm joined by Greg Hughes on the right and Jim DeBacchus on the left. In our next segment, we'll talk about the non-discrimination news by the LDS Church.
Yeah. This is Jim DeBacchus on the left.
Greg Hughes on the right.
And I'm Natalie Gochner in the Political Center, and this is Both Sides of the Aisle. All right, so big news this week. LDS Church hosts a news conference. I started getting little tweets and, you know, seeing little things that the LDS Church was hosting a news conference at 10 a.m. Jim probably knew all about this, but I didn't know what it was. I'm like, oh, what's going to happen here? And it turned out that I had a free moment on my schedule, and I was able to watch the news conference live from my computer, which was a real treat for me because they came out with a very incredible message for this community and for Worldwide Church, that it's a church that is embracing much more, what's the right word, Jim?
Diversity.
Compassion, openness, and at the same time, you know, looking for that right balance, obviously, for religious freedom. But there were a whole bunch of things that struck me about that news conference that I want to talk about, but quick reactions from both of you.
Two major points. The church unequivocally and completely said, we support non-discrimination in housing and employment. We support legislation that prevents that. And they also said very strongly, not just for Utah, not just for the United States, but for the world. There's no fighting about that. It's there. It's in writing. And they said the highest leadership of the church. That's where we are. They also said we are for religious liberty, but it's not defined yet. And I think the church is going internally right now, even as we speak, and talking to a lot of stakeholders and talking to people and talking to lawyers and figuring out, is religious liberty just the First Amendment, or where else does it go on this broad spectrum? I don't think they've come to that decision yet. And we're going to sit down and talk about the Utah bill, Senator Urquhart and I, and hopefully we will be able to create something in Utah that will be a model for the whole United States of America, where we allow non-discrimination, but we also carefully protect the religious liberties of everybody. And if we can do that, we will have done a wonderful thing, not just for Utah, but for the whole country.
And it's in that balanced, productive middle.
Yeah, I will tell you, if I talk to some people, they'll say, do you hear that the church is supportive of anti-discrimination laws? And you talk to others and they say, can you believe it? They're really pushing for religious liberties. And I'm going to say, it's all of those.
It is.
It's all of it. Okay. It is what I think you can bottom line this as, Natalie, is let's just treat each other respectfully.
Yeah, absolutely.
Let's just treat each other right.
Well,
and for whatever reason.
Well, and for the LDS Church, Jim, you have so much more experience in this than I do, but I saw, and I'm a member of the LDS faith, but I saw my religious leadership up there speaking about LGBT. There was a time when that didn't happen.
Yeah.
I'm seeing these nods. And,
I'm still trying to get my head around all these acronyms. I'm telling you, it's even new, even for me. Can I tell you this?
Please.
So you had this guy, he's a CEO of this big tech company. I mean, huge company, right? They come and find out that he had given $800. I mean, for as much money as this guy has, $800 is like throwing a buck in the Salvation Army can at Christmas time. He gives an $800 contribution to the Proposition 8 effort to define the marriages between a man and a woman. And there is such outrage and that this man is forced to resign. I would say that the experience that person had where that contribution must have reflected some religious belief or just, you know, moral code or whatever he did, whatever prompted him to participate in that Proposition 8 campaign, is no different than if someone were to disclose their domestic relationship. If people were to be so outraged that they think he should have to resign, whether it's because of what you believe according to your faith or whether it's because of what you feel and how you are, your household is comprised, I think the idea that you would have to leave or be forced to leave that employment is unacceptable. And so I think it goes back to this. We got to treat people better.
Yeah.
And we got to quit picking which side's more equal than the other. So let's just
get it right for our society. So another thing happened yesterday, and I might be more sensitive to this than the two of you, but a woman named Neil Marriott, she's in the general presidency of the Relief Society for the LDS Church, and she spoke at the news conference along with, I guess, really two apostles, if I'm getting this
right.
Three apostles, okay. In any case, she represented the church's viewpoint in a very eloquent, articulate, sensitive way, and I've not seen women featured in that role. in a setting like that in my time. I kind of took notes as she was speaking. You know, I wrote down, she said, basic human rights should not be denied based on sexual orientation. And I was, Jim, I don't know if you saw that the same way I did, Greg, if you did, but it meant a lot to me that a woman in a leadership position with the LDS Church was part of this announcement.
She was terrific. You know, and she was quite a contrast to these
yes.
articulate, reasonable men, all of them over 70, my guess is, and this bright, young, vivacious woman who I thought just had a terrific message. It's got to be good for the
I don't
LDS
know if you saw any of that, Greg.
I was unable to see it. I've read accounts of the press conference.
It was just a really nice touch, I thought. So,
yeah.
You're listening to Both Sides of the Aisle. I'm Natalie Gochner. I am joined by Jim DeBacchus and by Greg Hughes. Let's do a little bit of rapid fire here and look through a couple of things going on here. How about Clark Gilbert? Appointed, this is Jim's old friend who he villainized with the Deseret News kind of taking on the Tribune, but he's just appointed the president of BYU Idaho. Good pick, Jim.
I wish Mr. Gilbert all the best in his new assignment. Go Rexburg. What are they? The Rebels?
You know what you remind me of?
they don't have sports teams anymore up there. Do you know
okay,
that?
Okay.
Yeah, that would be the perfect name, though.
Right. Rexburg Rebels.
Yeah.
your joy reminds me of, as a BYU fan, how happy I was when Urban Meyer accepted that head coaching job at Florida. I just was so happy for him to just get up and go, right?
Yeah.
I think that's what I'm hearing out of you, Jim.
All right. We're also seeing a lot of actually like paid media and earned media on the topic of a citizenship test. For students to graduate from high school. How do you guys come down on that one? And can you guys pass it?
Well, I'll tell you what. This might be the only time in the good state of Utah that we're looking at a federal test for citizenship and going, those feds have it right. Let's find out what they're requiring for citizenship, and let's put it into our core curriculum, this federal mandate. No. I think that, hey, what's good for the goose is good for the gander. I've reviewed the test. These are important things you should know anyway. I'm surprised that they wouldn't find their way in the core curriculum anyway.
Jim, will you support this bill?
No.
why not? I mean,
it's an easy one.
I saw it in education yesterday, and I can't remember if I voted for it or against it, but Greg has crystallized my point of view on it when it gets to the floor. We did away with civics requirements in our education system. Can you imagine that? We have no civics requirement. And kids have no... The reason Howard Stevenson has come up with this is because our kids don't know who our senators are. They don't know who the governor is, barely know who the president is. So the solution to this is have the legislature go and come up with this 100-question test.
It's not that bad.
It's 100 questions, and the kids have to pass this or they can't graduate. Put civics back into the schools and not a dumb test.
If you don't like this bill, blame Jay Leno and that man on the street skit he started doing where nobody in the world can name something as simple as who the president of the United States is. I mean, that was it's a comedy. You can't believe it.
All right. Other news. Deloy Hansen. A very prominent business leader in our town, owns a lot of downtown real estate, a lot of companies, and the owner of Real Salt Lake, I might add, Greg.
Yes.
Struck a deal with Salt Lake City to put an $18 million stadium at the Fair Park. I'm smiling ear to ear on that one.
It solves some problems because the fair is a disaster and the state has thrown into a money pit. This is good because it's outside money. It's going to be year-round. It's going to bring people there. This is good on a lot of counts. And I haven't given up that the Real is going to be moved to downtown Salt Lake.
The only thing that I'm confused about is that, you know, we talk about this prison move and all this state land. And there is just this scrutiny on who would ever develop on that land, who would have access to that land, uh-huh. who's going to have those opportunities while others don't in terms of access to it. How did we get to a place where you can have the state fair park and have someone propose a development there without any kind? I mean, I'm killing myself to make sure that we do this. It's so far, firewall after firewall when you talk about a prison move and you got a state fair park and they're measuring for drapes over there. You got a developer measuring for drapes. I don't understand why there isn't maybe a more thorough process to it. And if it holds back soccer, any more soccer in this town, I want that to be about as thorough
as
like a
10-year
process.
I said it last year, but I'm going to ask Deloy for for some seats. You can bring your significant others, okay?
Okay.
To come to a Real game and let me do color commentary, Greg, for you while we watch it.
I couldn't tell you an offsides if it was sitting next to me. In hockey, there's a blue line. And you can see when you've crossed the blue line and the puck is not, you are offsides. In soccer, who knows when it is? You never know.
I'm with you. I never know. Never know when they're offsides.
I'm going to help you. All right.
And they flop.
More news in sort of the rapid fire. I read an article in the Salt Lake Tribune about the number of poached animals in Utah increasing. That is never good. The wildlife is owned by the state, and we got people picking them off.
So I like poached eggs. I don't like poached animals. Is that what we're doing now? I don't understand. This is rapid fire out of my wheelhouse. You need to get a rural guy here talking about poached animals.
I only know about poached
eggs, Natalie.
Okay. How about President Obama seeking to designate a new refuge in Alaska?
Why stop at Alaska?
Yeah,
just,
more
just
wilderness
take the whole
coming.
Country. Why don't you just do it? I mean, why? We only have 30% of the state of Utah. Just take the whole thing, right? Take all of Alaska. You know, come down here. Take the rest of Utah. What are we even arguing about?
I've been in meetings with Jim, and he'll all of a sudden the phone will ring, and he'll say, "No, oh, it's the White House calling. Just a minute, I need to take this."
So what's the internal word, Jim?
It's so are we going to get a some set aside land here in this Obama land grab? Or
you know, it's hard being the one guy who around here who's not a developer, who doesn't want to pave over the national parks and drill them and frack them and slack them and track them. And you know what? If we can grab large swaths of Alaska and preserve it for 100 or 200 or 300 years with the scenic beauty that's there so people can fish and camp. Amen. Greg, you just think you're Santa Claus.
I grew up with that term,
Cadillac liberals, liberals that have a lot of money and whatnot. And when I get on planes sometimes, I'll see Jim sitting in first class, but he wears like a little disguise.
That's not true.
He wears one of these glasses and things. He doesn't want people to
first
see.
First class, I have heard this man say, I care about this issue so much, I'm ready to fly commercial to get there, okay? Forget first class. This guy has never seen the inside of a commercial airline. He always gets his own charter jet to take him where he wants to go.
Man, only in my
wine
heart.
And cheese, only in Democrat,
Cadillac liberal.
That's right.
Exactly.
Oh, right. Well, it's time for gripes. I'll go to either of you first because I have to save mine for the end. Because otherwise, well, okay, Greg, you're.
I got one. Okay, so we planned this. We had a recording for this, but I was in a meeting. One of the nice things about doing this on the Capitol during the session is that we can get to these recordings quickly. I've just been in a meeting with Jim. And, this is a pure example of taking shallow water, muddying it up, and calling it deep. This was a perfunctory 30-minute, we got to do some things by way of process to get it done. And, oh, my God, we had to have all the platitudes and all the saber rattling, and it just went on and on and on. Finally, I got up, and I went over and I whispered to Jim, our moderator, our productive middle is waiting. You are just wasting this poor woman's time, Jim, with stuff that's going to pass anyway. Let's just get going. And, of course, we finally passed it.
The associate dean of the University of Utah is going to be late for a meeting because of you guys.
He just had to go on and on. You and your ilk. That's my rant.
Next week, I'm going to talk about what happened. Mine is quite brief. I have had a lot of nasty responses from some national gay groups on the fact that I would dare say good things about the LDS Church. And you know what I say to them?
Amen.
Good on you. Thank you.
Amen. Like that was a big thing that happened this week. So
big.
Well, my gripe, and I'll invite you guys to comment on it, but I'm going to gripe about the NFL.
Talk about your soccer. Leave my NFL.
Well, that's where I'm going. I'm thinking of the NFL with concussions, with domestic abuse, with cheating, and you've got this alternative in Major League Soccer, MLS, where you have a global game where the game never stops. You don't have all these timeouts and all these sorts of things. It rewards fitness. You have to kind of get out there. You don't get a substitute very much. There's less hype. It's real. And then you got Kyle Beckerman, a guy that plays on our national team. He's from Maryland, and he comes to Utah, and he marries a gal from Murray. I mean, this is a beautiful thing, you guys. So my gripe this week is the NFL. Get excited, because MLS soccer, Real Salt Lake, starts up again in a month.
You know what's real about soccer? That if these guys, if you just brushed against them, they'd fall to the ground writhing in pain. It's just Football is a man's sport. It's a tough sport.
Your avocation is politics. Mine is soccer.
Terry Bradshaw is in town. Greg Hughes is Mr. Pittsburgh. And you didn't go to that lunch with Terry Bradshaw. What kind of devotion is that?
I've been up here in meetings.
I cannot believe it. I think they flew him in to give this speech especially for you. You didn't even meet Bradshaw, did you?
I was here in meetings. The people come first, Jim.
Oh,
the people of Utah and my responsibilities come first. He must be a liberal.
I mean, underneath it. I mean, I can't imagine you snubbed Terry Bradshaw.
No, I didn't. I really didn't.
I just love how ever since he's become speaker, I haven't seen him in Pittsburgh, you know, paraphernalia for a while.
I used to come to our shows
in hoodies. He's in cufflinks these days.
I know. I used to be in a hoodie and a ball cap. Now I got to wear suits.
You've been listening to Both Sides of the Aisle. I'm Natalie Gochner. I've been joined by Greg Hughes on the right and Jim DeBacchus on the left. We have recorded this program from Capitol Hill. So a first for Both Sides of the Aisle right here from the heartbeat. And our producer is Ross Chambliss. Thank you for listening.